This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast. This week's challenge, make Christmas. Hello?
Merry Christmas. We're saying Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas. The war is over. The war's over if you want it.
We're not saying happy holidays anymore. And so this is holidays.
All I'm saying is give peace a chance. I know it's different. Please don't tweet me. I know it's different.
Everybody's talking about Santaism, Elfism, Jesusism.
Oh, I've become a Yoko apologist, but that's a different show. Oh, no! Oh, no! Did you hang up on me because I said I was a Yoko apologist?
Kiss, 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 kiss me, love. I quit the wrong thing, as is so often the case.
God. Is this a 73 Folders guy talking? That's a very 73 Folders. Oh,
what?
Fuck.
What?
No, that's just a punch in the gut.
Okay, all right, here's the thing. Oh, God. All right.
All right, go on. Good morning, Merlin. Happy Christmas. Go on, I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Christmas Goose.
That's an actual thing. Do you know what that is? Okay, I'm sorry. Go.
You there, rah! Boy. Is it still Christmas morning? Bring me Alexandra Cox, the biggest one in the window. Oh, God. Well, let's see. Where do
the
I begin?
Thing.
I recorded a podcast last night, and when I night podcast, I end up staying up way later than I would prefer. I think I watched the entire run of a television series last night. I went to bed late, woke up late, just pounding downstairs, because we'll get to this. Mm-hmm, as they say on blank check. We'll get to that. There's a lot of pounding downstairs. Because our landlord's doing something.
Oh, we're both having a week like that. Okay.
Oh, I got a theory about this. And then outside, I've already pre-recorded a bunch of, as they say, room noise. Because apparently, Pacific Gas and Electric brought out a truck with a literal jackhammer. That you'll be hearing. Right now, All you hear is the wheezing diesel thruster. But like occasionally, you'll hear pop, 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 pop.
Oh.
And there's other things too, but I'm sorry I'm late. I'm very tired. Hi. Oh, yes. Hang on. There's only one way I'm going to get through this. Let me get this going. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought that you were going to catch me juicing because I've got it on.
Should we do some follow up on this?
Yeah. Let's do some follow up.
Yeah. I'm addicted, Alex. Think... Like, no, I can't finish unless I have it on. Not on my forehead. Not on my forehead. I'll tell you a little bit about the extreme restraints.
I love it when it's just
right
on my forehead, into my eyes. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
I'm juicing harder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, more and more saline?
Well, yes. I'm making my saline more, as we say, difficult. But also, I got a ramekin of salt here, like the way you'd make like a margarita rim, pardon my saying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I can double juice. Oh, it hurts so much, but at least I feel alive. I feel something. And a second one for my balls is all I want for Christmas today. Shock my balls, Santa.
Oh.
If you don't know what it's for, I will. That's what Ben Franklin said. Okay. I'm not suited for this life. As Brian Wilson says, I just wasn't made for these times. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ. You put a lot of things into the dock.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I love this. The turkey's name was Carrot. Oh, I love that book. Okay. All right.
I mean, I assume that you also. Okay. Let's.
Okay.
We got a
okay.
lot of stuff. And we don't. We can stop.
We got a lot to get through. We're going to stay here as long as it takes.
Oh. Welcome to Do By Friday, everybody. A show where the original show, the first show ever that had the hosts assign each other challenges. The first podcast ever, and the first podcast to ban people. Not that I'm bitter. I just want one thing.
That doesn't seem like too much to ask.
But, you know.
There's a lot of this replication going on. A lot of people are wheezing our juice, and I don't love that. There's other things.
Sterling Kine gets a pass. She could finish on my forehead all day. I'm so sorry.
You're so gay for her. Wow. Well, act one. Alex really puts off somebody they don't know.
I'm so sorry.
Uh-huh. Are you sorry? Because I think you speak the truth.
I remember I had one interaction with Starly Kind, and it was a public interaction in which I said, hey, I really loved your work on This American Life, and Mystery Show is my favorite podcast. And she had the exact same reaction that I have whenever someone tells me that they enjoy something I do, which is,
please,
oh my
don't
gosh,
acknowledge me.
Thank you so, so much. I'm sorry. I need to go now. Too many people. And I've never empathized with another person more in my life.
You know, you probably already know this, but.
Wow, what a humble brag. I apologize. That wasn't okay. Sorry.
No. But I think I have a suggestion for a way to improve that. So as you may know or recall, my line is I really enjoy your work. Mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. Here's the key. Think about body posture, and think about planes. Think about mm-hmm. planes as in, like, you know, your body. Think about how Apollo Robbins does what he does, because why? He explains this in one of those wonderful videos.
Wait, planes as in trains as in automobiles, or like a theoretical, like a field as in Spain?
Like a Todd Vaziri plane, like a 180 rule. Okay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, just to say that, think about how the way that Apollo Robbins is able to, God, I love the way he explains this. If he just walked up to you and, like, stared you in the eyes and thrust his hand into your pocket, you'd be a little bit suspicious. But he does that thing where he sidles in sort of sideways, and he's able to get in your personal space without it feeling like he's in your personal space.
I hate it.
That's just all I'm trying to say here is how close you are to someone, whether you are, like, you know, person to person with them. You know what I mean? Like, when I say planes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like if you and the other person, if your two faces and your public space barriers are basically parallel lines, no matter how far apart you are, if you stare somebody like dead in the eye while you talk to them in a way like that, like you're very still and steady and you're like, you make my favorite podcast, and you look right at them. I think what you need to do is do almost an exaggerated kind of Thomas Middleditch walk. Like, while you're going past them at a different angle. So look at me. You're looking at me, right? Mm-hmm, now mm-hmm. Imagine me turning. I'm turning like 45 degrees this way, and I'm walking, and I'm doing the walk, and I go, hey, I really enjoy your work. Have a good show. Or break a leg, as we say. I feel like those are very different kinds of things. It's when you essentially almost get into somebody's space. And let's be honest, if you're a podcast person, you're probably broken inside, mm-hmm. and that might feel very unintentionally aggressive to you. It's like, you know, it's why I've always said, you know, nerds are like cats. You got to kind of wait for them to come to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, I 100% agree. But I hope that you're using this in the terms of the royal you, because that's almost exactly what I did. It was like a straight on. We were in a circle. I really enjoy your work. And it's like, okay, goodbye now. But yeah, no, approaching somebody from the side and tapping them on the shoulder. If you are strangers, don't do that. I immediately think it's Apollo Robbins. I immediately think that I'm being stolen from. And also that, like, if you are trying to steal from me, please take everything and leave me alone. Like, I've accepted my fate.
I just want to, I will not miss this. I can always get a different driver's license, but I will never get my sense of safety back. take everything and leave me nude. I don't mind. Just do it quickly and don't ask me any questions about my childhood.
Exactly.
It's hard to do, but, like, and I do think oh boy, I'm not going to say the thing.
Well, do you want to, can I remind you that the one time I said hello to you, shouting across a street, getting into a minivan that was an Uber or a Lyft with friend of the show, Savannah, and then, but we were both in the car like, oh God, this is really, man, that was so bad. And you continued to dance and wave at us. And I was like, oh God, this man is never going to talk to us again.
Did I put you at ease or did I scare you?
Oh, I mean, that's the thing is, did you scare me or did I scare myself?
I was probably doing a lasso special on you because I'll take the heat for that. I'll be the silly one.
Oh.
I'll be the silly one. And then you can be the one who goes, oh man, that guy. You know,
you did a good morning, boss, I think.
Did I bring you biscuits? Well, don't put that in gravy.
You did. You bought me French fries at that terrible bar. We talked about Adventure Time for an hour. And
Savannah.
Then I was like, I'm
Savannah's
not afraid
so
of Merlin Mann anymore. He likes those cartoons.
I got him.
I got you now. I'm like, yeah. Adding you to my podcast collection.
I am the collector.
That's how I started stomping on stamps.
But you know, never mind. We got a lot of other things to talk
about. No. Go ahead. These are evergreen topics. Huh. Please proceed. Okay. Except for the tiny desk. We need to talk about the tiny desk.
Trap to la la la.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Trap to la la la. I also have a really good Adventure Time photo to send you. Because I'm having a bit of a moment right now with... You know, actually, this ties into the landlord topic in some ways. I think maybe it's just me. It's probably just me. But I do feel like everybody's getting a little fucking weird right now.
A little?
Yeah, but it's different weird. It's slightly different weird. I mean, it's you can't say anything equivocally, and everybody's different, pounce on privilege. But, like, I personally was lauding the time when we were all being really cool with each other and saying, like, you know, not even needing to say... no response necessary or, you know, whatever. I think we were all a little bit more Ted Lasso in, say, March and April. And now I think today, by today, I mean, it's been almost a year since this thing started. And now I think in addition to the fatigue, which is we'll get to, and what that's doing to our poor landlords, also that I, how does one say? We've had the discussion about... Consider, you know, it's almost time for the new year. And if you need a resolution, consider this. Consider spending a little bit of time becoming the person who can do the one message, one response loop.
Oh, go on. Like a single question, single response, done.
Well, okay. So there are people in my life with whom I am happy to shuck and jive all day long. I will not reveal who those people are, but you could probably guess. There's not a lot.
That's why I wanted you to take the read receipts off. I'm like, I do not care if Merlin responds. I just.
Okay.
Go. Yep. And thank you. That was a good friendship move.
Did I turn it off? I think I did.
I think so.
I don't utilize it. I don't even know what it does. So I turned it off because even though I didn't know what it did, you probably hacked me. But, you know, sometimes let's put it this way. Sometimes amidst these challenging times, it can be
now more than
sometimes
ever.
I just need a bit of fucking information from you. I need you to give me the information. Right. Sometimes so much communication. I've known this since the 93 folders years. Some communication, sometimes an email is not to send or obtain information. It's to say, I love you or just ping. It's a way to say, ooh, hey, hi, buddy. You know, and that can be really fun. Like sometimes I'll just have an exchange with somebody like, oh, the guy's in the park again with his speaker really loud. I'll say to my friend and neighbor, I'll text him. Or it'll be like, oh, my gosh, this is happening again. Or big dog, little dog are back. Or that basset hound is so close to the ground. Look how big his feet are. Or whatever. And you have a little one-on-one exchange, and that's fun. But sometimes let's say to somebody, I just need to know your zip code for a thing. And then they go into a performance. My zip code is lasagna. Okay, so what is it? Is it 94 what? look at me. Fake zip code guy. Look at me. I'm dancing. I gotta do this with other people. And I cannot have this with 11 people today. I can't have here's me.
That's great.
Okay? I can't do that with everybody all the time, anytime, okay? So if it seems like I'm being a little cagey about that, it's because, like, I can't go into an Abbott Costello routine with every fucking person I talk to. If I'm asking you in a plane, or you ask me for the thing, I sent you the thing. But then you're going into your little Yogi Bear dance with me. I gave you the thing. Become the one message loop person. Consider this.
One message loop.
I don't know what it's called.
Loop back.
Mm-hmm. It's a looper, loop back. A caddy.
It's a loop back. Yeah.
I don't know. Cut that out. But it's hard to know. It's hard to know because we want to be friendly and we want to have friends. You know, and we want, you know, I'm hungry for friendship.
I am also more hungry for friendship than I've ever been in my life. But I also know that there are days when I am like, nope, no friendship, do not want friendship.
Oh, I know, and I can tell. Well, there's days when you're very effusive in a given thing, mm-hmm. and then there's other times where, like, I don't hear from you for a while, and usually, sometimes in the evening, and I send you a dumb kid thing or something. But no, I get that.
She's not dumb, you're dumb.
You're dumb, you're the dumb one. You're so dumb, dummy. Adventure Time. Barkby. Oh, shit dog, our Saturn V arrived.
All right, wait, you're doing a meet. You're doing it. See, this is...
Chop, chop. bleeper.
Yes. But I hear you saying... I hear you.
Yeah, how does that make you feel? How does this make you feel?
That you feel...
Don't tell anyone.
I have a genuine question.
Yes.
Do you seem... I don't know. Why do you feel the need to always respond and do the shucking and the jiving? Because I feel like I've set up a system and an expectation with most people my juicer's off. Oh, it's burning. It's burning.
Why does it give you an extra blast at the end? Is that to remind you that it's working?
I don't know.
Isn't that strange that it does that?
Yeah. Dig Dug, follow up. We're talking about the brain zappers we're wearing that we wore last episode. And I want to hear about if you're still wearing it, maybe in the after show.
I got to be honest. I'm doing it as a goof.
Okay. All right. Because I don't know.
Although it is kind of amusing the way it hurts your head.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little, it's a, I don't know. Okay, I think it's on the, and then my, hold on, the whole
That's
thing
brain goose.
Oh God, it's like a, it's like.
What's it doing to you, Alex? What's happening?
Or something. Oh no, headphones off.
Oh gosh.
No. Oh no. All right. Hello.
Sorry. You were talking about your head buzzer.
My head buzzer is done. I was able to finish. But you sound like you feel a little bit guilty for not always interacting with people.
I think I understand your question. Why do I feel the need when somebody wants to shuck and jive and casualize our relationship in a way that's fun and grows the relationship and you get to have an exchange? I do that. We all do that. Mm-hmm. It's so important in any time to be able to have easy, an easy rapport with your friends. And, like, sometimes your friends are having a bad day and, like, you want to, like, just, you know, whatever, be silly or whatever. And, anything I say to this is going to sound like really dickly, but I say it as somebody who's been on the recipient and sender of this response, which is sometimes you need someone to play with you in the space. Mm-hmm. And if somebody reaches out to you for whatever reason, perhaps reasons unknown, they want to play with you in the space, I think you should do that. If you're okay with that. I can't do that with everybody all the time, especially folks that I, you know, maybe don't know super well, but by the same token, if somebody wants to play with me in the space, I mean, what do I bitch about? I bitch about people who the first time they ever reach out to you to contact you about anything are there to do something nasty. They're there to be fucking Jamie Tart. And, like, instead, like,
yes.
I'm ready to play low status and have fun with you. And, like, if somebody wants to do a bit and it's a one-message flip, we need a name for this, I'm fine with that. But it's that, I mean, this sounds like such an asshole thing to say, but I hope you'll appreciate it, which is that, okay, I have a note. This is a long story. There's a thing that I have hanging on my wall here, which is like a lot of the things in my office. They're things that my wife has thrown away that I decided I'd prefer to keep, even though they're garbage. Even like my child's tiny IKEA table with the chairs that fall over very easily. That is now where a lot of my hard drives live. And I love to look at it. I love to look at the IKEA table that she used to sit at and have tea parties with Tigger. I like that because my wife is a monster. Oh, you want some Tigger tea party photos?
Oh shit,
dog. You see the one I just sent you? That was one of my featured photos today.
Oh.
Look at Finn's. It's Finn's sword.
I know. And the,
But she's got a princess. This is the beginning of the monstrosity she's become now, the goth monster that she is now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. She's seen.
Is that she's definitely, she's having fun with it. She's having fun with genres. And so I have this thing that we used to have in our bathroom and when it was an actual thing. And it's a like a mirror. It's kind of a cheapy retro. She actually found this on the street in the Mission in the 90s, which she would never do today. Pick up street garbage. This is when she was like
a really different kind of
She was a bike person, so I try not to blame her for too much. But it's one of those things. It's like a mirror with a little slidey cabinet. If you ever, you've been in my office, it's that thing where I've got like all my little collectibles, the post office box door I stole from my college, the picture of me and You Look Nice Today, the picture of me and Scott somebody drew. That's where my Daenerys and my 8 1/2 doctor are. And it's got a mirror, and around the mirror is this metal what do you call it, a bezel, to which I have magnetized a handwritten letter that I received in 1988 or 9 probably. I wrote to my hero at the time, Jonathan Richman, who was my favorite singer-songwriter at the time, probably. Yeah, like my favorite, definitely folky singer-songwriter. I wrote to Jonathan Richman, 1, 2, 3, 4, radio on, that guy. And I wrote him a note, Jackhammer. I wrote him a note, and it was just a dumb, effusive note. And the dude fucking wrote me back in big ballpoint pen. He wrote me a note. He talked about the, to me, Alex, he talked about the Kinks and the Velvet Underground in a handwritten letter to nobody. To fucking nobody. And like the time I met Steve Garvey, where I said dumb shit, like, my coach hates the way I try to bat like you. And he's like, that's cool. You seem like a really nice guy. I wrote to Jonathan Richman to say, I really like all your stuff. And I paid to record one of your songs as a cover in a studio. And I really like you. And he wrote me back. He wrote me back as a peer.
Oh,
fucking Jonathan Richman, modern lovers. He wrote me back as a fucking peer.
And I would say one of the fathers of punk, or the beginning, like, oh my God.
Oh shit, dog. Yes. But then he got totally weird, you know? Like then he wrote songs like, whoa, New England, you know? And oh my God. Or, oh my God. Oh, we got to talk about Jonathan Richman. So I am by no means trying to cast myself as an overkind Jonathan Richman, but I do know that you never know what it took for somebody to get with you, what it took for them to go, oh gosh, I really want to craft this thing to this person. And I, you know what I mean? Like I feel like I've been on both sides of that. And if you do appreciate somebody wanting you to play in the space, then you should show it, but you can't do it all the time. And don't do it for business. If it's for business, just send your zip code. That's my point. If a zip code is not a point to go into like who's on first or the mirror gag.
This isn't a hashtag privilege thing. This is, as you just said, everybody is weird now. It's just we're all weird in very different ways.
Yes, I totally agree. I said so early. God, I'm sorry. I said early on, I wish I could draw because I want my New Yorker cover that I draw.
Sorry. I did a Merlin man binge and I heard this drawing part. So proceed. I don't know. See, I did it. I was like, I play in the space.
Oh, what was it on? What was it on? Was it on Roderick probably?
No, it was on Rec Diffs, but it was a little bit on Roderick on the Line.
But it would be like a Chris Ware. I imagine like a Chris Ware. Drawing.
So good.
Oh, wait, I don't know if this is what you think it is.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Is it everybody comes out of their house and they're weird? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So imagine Chris Ware style drawing. Could be anybody, but like I like the idea of his style. And you could do it if you want to really do a bit, it would be a before and after. But what I'm imagining is once we have turned a corner and everybody knows we turned a corner and we're getting into like, you know, hopefully somewhere we'll be in a few months, which is like, no, we're emerging and there's still a huge risk, but it's okay to be outside and talk to people now. Oh, boy.
Oh.
Okay,
are you
here we go.
Deucing?
Oh, big shock. Oh. Big shock. Ooh. Okay. And I had this idea, though, of like a drawing of a bunch of people emerging like on the same street, each emerging from their house. And there's been something like evolution that has occurred over that year. And everybody's completely weird in a different psychotic, like Galapagos way. Like some people, their head is a TV, you know, like in Saga, or like one person has like, instead of they've grown antlers, except their baby arms out of their head, but something where you're like, oh wow, we sure have changed in the last year. And we all emerge and we look at each other and we have no idea how to interact because we've now each basically become our own genus and species. Cause that's what it feels like. That's where we're going.
It does.
I only wear burlap potato bags now.
I mean, recently I started wearing a different, it is the same shirt again every single day, but it's now a charcoal shirt or a charcoal gray.
Oh, you still do Cotton Bureau, but now you've gone from gray to charcoal.
I've gone from a blue cobalt to a, I don't know.
You're good. Keep going. But you're still doing your tri blends.
I love a good tri band. But I there's this Rick and Morty episode that I was watching the other day where it is that time is frozen and people have kind of merged from different universes. And we are a multiverse right now because, I mean, I know that you think I'm horny for the Cortex Boys, but really I think I'm horny for all the Brits. But the CGP Grey idea of everybody's in their own spaceship is so true, but it's also kind of like Battlestar Galactica. Like some of us are are always in a Viper, and then there's other folks who are you know on Galactica, and they live in an apartment building where everybody's quarantined.
Oh, I like this. This is good.
And I mean, I just keep in mind, or really try to keep in mind, not as I go outside more, but I've been in my car a lot more, just doing errands for folks. And I am patting myself on the back. Fuck that. Quinn, cut that out. I'm sorry. But I'm just in my...
No, you should. No, it's okay to leave that in because that's actually a huge new thing that the people who are begging everybody. I mean, I think they said today, California CDC, it's early. But somebody's basically saying, I think somebody at like the Deborah Burks level were saying, like, look, if local people are not telling you to take care of yourself, it's incumbent upon everybody else to get that messaging through to them somehow. And that means that what I read this morning just laying in bed was that if you're over 65, it's critical. I mean, more than at any other point in all of this, it's critical that if you're over 65 or have these conditions, you not enter any closed space with people not wearing masks, end of story. I don't know how to put this any clearer to you. You need to have other people bring you groceries and leave it outside. You're at so much risk of this right now. And people aren't telling you that. We haven't said that for a while. We've been saying wash your hands for a year or whatever, or 8 months, 9 months, but that kind of thing. So you're doing a good thing. Don't be hard on yourself. It's nice that you're doing that.
My spouse is much better at it. But I mean, I think we are kind of getting to the point of... You know, who among us has the hashtag privilege of being young enough, not just young enough, but are healthy enough in terms of our lungs and who can do this?
Right. And it's not difficult. It's not that difficult to do and it's not that risky to do. And yet there are those kinds of nice things in life where you can have an impact on somebody else's life by doing something that's, say, for example, calling them by the name that they would like to be called, which costs nothing. That's just one thing.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have a gender jar, but you know.
I don't understand how could a person declare themselves to now be a man and still be playing a woman on TV? Can you imagine? Yeah. How would that even work?
Now, Scarlett Johansson.
You get Scarlett Johansson or, you know, Hilary Swank in there, or GTG.
Oh, Hilary Swank. Hi, everybody. My name's Alex Cox. I'm going to plug Alex. My spouse's podcast, twoheadedgirl.com. It's also mine, but he's what makes it good. I really like when Hilary Swank portrayed, Brendan, Tina.
I know there's Tina.
Yeah,
Tina,
Brendan,
Tina Belcher.
Working
on Tina's talking points.
Yeah, but I don't think we should cancel Hilary Swank for playing a trans man in 1989.
No.
I'm in a mood, Marilyn. I'm not at you. I apologize. Not at you.
No, it's fine. Keep going. No, I'm just saying that in my house, like, believe me, I get to hear plenty about everything.
You've got some woke scolds all up in there.
Oh my goodness, I have a very progressive family member. I can't find this cute photo of her having the tea party. It's in here somewhere. I'm very distracted trying to find this. Sometimes, you know, I'm like a dog with a bone, you know what I mean? I gotta finish the thing. Oh, look at Cable Sasser. Used to be you could go in public and be with Cable Sasser.
Oh,
June 8th, 2010. What a different time.
Gosh.
Lordy.
The last time I think someone took a picture of me with pure joy on my face was Syracusa taking me a picture of when I was trying the Playmate for this. Panic's new toy/gaming
system. Oh, yeah, the little yellow thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a Game Boy. And I'm like, oh, is that the last time I had nothing to worry about?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a time. Oh, and so you were driving around more in your car. Go ahead.
I don't know. It just feels very
You admonished yourself about patting yourself on the back, but you were talking about
driving around. It's very strange to see that some buildings and some houses are taking things very seriously.
Oh yeah.
And others just
so.
Look, there's a barbecue happening even though it's 45 in Chicago.
Alex, I mean there's the joke, but it's not a joke. The parklet thing or whatever we're calling it now, it's asinine.
Basically, I gotta send you a picture.
Outdoor dining has now become indoor dining. It's more like you're in some kind of Quonset hut outside. I don't think that's technically outdoors. If it has three sides, that's not outside. It's not outside enough. That's what I'll say about that.
Oh, well, this thing, it is... They just constructed a fucking building. Oh, come on now. Here I am trying to get a picture of this incredibly depressing building. Oh, here we are. Huh? quote, the outside dining part of this.
Oh, look at that. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I mean, I guess. I have to tell you, I'm very close to stopping doing this because I think it's really annoying and I'm tired of doing it. But just to be clear, I'm not saying all these places should go out of business. I'm saying what everybody's saying, which is give all the fucking money to the places that we want to survive, but we can't have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Give all of the money to restaurants and bars. And if they want to keep serving for pickup, that's fine. But like we need a massive operation to pay everybody all the fucking money right now.
Yep.
And that's the problem. I mean, it all does kind of come down to money eventually. But like people are going to keep doing this, they're going to find any way they can to keep everything open. And it's not safe. You got to stop, everybody.
It's really hard too because, you know, we're supporting all of these small businesses because, you know, hashtag privilege. I can afford to, you know, eat out and pick up food. But then
give us your fucking money.com.
Yes. Please go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com so I can buy more weed from independent dealers. Not dealers, but yeah, I know, right? It's an essential
service.
No,
we say dealer. We don't really say dealer anymore.
Well, now
we say entrepreneur.
Oh boy. Look, there actually are some good places in Chicago that don't suck. I'm going to put them in the show notes.
Our place is awesome. And you don't have to smoke with them.
Oh.
They just deliver it. They come to your house.
Oh,
they give it to
that.
You. They're nice,
goodness.
And they walk away. That's it.
That's beautiful. They have,
and they're really grateful for tips, which I think is sweet. I get the feeling other people are not tipping as much as I tip the weed men.
The weed men the safest.
One of the most fearsome of all of the Doctor Who villains. Rise of the weed men. Dawn of the weed men. Attack of the weed men. Day of the Weedman.
Day of the Weeds. It's the watermelon.
The doctor is detected, man. The doctor is detected.
Oh, we're all just THC in the end.
And so, tipping the weedman.
Yeah, we can't do that at the, you know, there's this.
By custom or by law?
By I actually don't No, because this place did accept tips in the past, but now it is, it's really the safest. We can't be delivered to in Chicago.
Oh, maybe it's it's an all cash operation, right? Like all of them?
No, it is thankfully debit. So you can just, you know, bleep bloop. And
because I've heard one of the problems with legal weed is you cannot get a bank account from anywhere if you're a weed person, and which of course then makes them a target for robberies and for various kinds of, like, it probably is pretty tempting to do some skeezy bookkeeping, I have to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, legalize it, don't criticize it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing with our lovely Weed Walmart is it's basically, I mean, it's really like the drive-up Target experience of they're like, okay, here you go, goodbye, boop, boop. And I'll be real, if perhaps I'm related to an older person in my family who of course I'm related to an older person. I've had so much caffeine in my family.
You're related to an older person in your family, pound sign privilege, okay.
Yeah, and I don't want him for a second going inside to get this thing that really, really helps his anxiety and old man bones.
but I also
feel like gross going to the Target weed place.
Yeah.
Well, some of them are titanium bones, which I'm a little bit jealous of, but I'm not going to tell my dad, wish I had a 20-year basketball injury so I could have a medal on me.
Metal knee, knee bends.
But yeah, we're all in different spaceships. Some of us are you know, the safe weed spaceships, and other times you walk into a Target because, like, they gave you the wrong fruit, and it's as if. I don't know.
You walk into the what wrong Target, wrong fruit?
Well, you know,
is that code? What is happening?
When you try.
Hang on. I'm putting it back on. Oh. I need to re-moisten.
Uh-huh.
My saline. Oh no, where's my saline? Oh no, my saline. How often do you change your pads? Be honest. Is 100 the right number?
Oh,
how often do you change your head pads?
I would say no. 100.
I haven't changed mine yet. I've been reusing them.
No, I've used them probably 12 times, and I have not changed my pad.
Do you find they get more difficult over time?
I do a thorough rinse every time.
Oh, you get the salts out. Oh, see, I was doing mine. I was having it build up, you know, like on a pot pipe type situation.
Oh,
look, see the pictures of the tea party?
It's so cute. They do look this thing in Disney World where it's called breakfast.
Oh, like a character breakfast kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And
so Emma, Emma here.
God, so cute.
Oh, this is a cute time.
Pat the bunny,
and she has the Melissa and Doug everything, the Melissa and Doug cupcakes. But she wouldn't have a party, so she wanted specifically SpongeBob plates for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Rudolph, and there's that creepy baby Tigger. You see many beloved characters.
Yeah,
and then she made them cupcakes for a party.
Oh my goodness. I mean, this year I wanted Pokemon plates for my birthday, so I can't endorse SpongeBob, but I like, you know, they look structurally sound.
Why can't we have both? Why do we have to fight about that?
You know what? Narcissism of small differences. You're right. Yeah, see, there's some Spider-Man cups there.
I disagree. There's no such thing as a narcissism of small differences. I think that's a joke, but I'm not entirely sure.
I'm just...
Oh, here's her dressed up in a dragon outfit. This is cute. I'm just going to send you photos of my daughter all day, if that's okay.
I mean, it's just so upsetting because a little dinosaur!
Yeah.
Oh, I need to...
Look at that face.
Oh, my goodness. That is the face of a child that seems very conflicted about what she has to wear at the moment.
No. So this was a dress-up costume that somebody made at her preschool.
Oh, wow.
And they decided to auction it off for an auction, and she was like, she really wanted it.
She was like, this is mine.
Yes, I will have the dragon, please.
I claim this in the name of the man.
On behalf of Spain, yeah. anyway, you're right though. Okay, so this is my thing though. Oh my god. She's still like us.
Oh my gosh. Cute. And now she's cool. It's very upsetting.
Oh man, you should see her. But like, this is not interesting. But I'm trying to find a theory that covers this phenomenon, which is like, I don't know if you got this, but like, about a month or two ago, I want to say, there was suddenly this explosion of activity. I don't know if this is tied to loosening the rules or whatever, but like suddenly there was scaffolding up in a lot of areas of my neighborhood, and people were painting houses, people were renovating things. My landlord is renovating a unit at our house. It has been like, I don't know, if you amortized it over like 3 years, it would be like an hour a week, which usually takes place over like 3 weekends or something. But anyway, but also like you got your Dougie. Now outside, this is municipal, it's PG&E, but I feel like there's been this weird kind of burst of activity. And my question is, or my theory is that I wonder if it is people going stir crazy. I wonder if it's that like people want some activity and something to do, if like the border collie in all of us is coming out and we need to do something outside and useful. That's a dumb theory, but it's a theory. Like me and my projects, Alex. You know how I'm always looking for projects?
Oh, my goodness. Projects. I would love to do a revisit this in the after show and you know, cosplay my fantasy of productivity podcasting and have my own racket. But
projects, this is for the after show. You can go to
projects.
giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. We do a whole second show. We have a holiday party coming up. After show, we're doing talking about projects. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say the last after show we did, I don't know, I will say the after show I try.
I don't remember it being good, let alone that good.
Neither do I, but you know.
Is that
what
we talked about, the Lord?
Yes, and I know that you never listen to the feedback, and you should not, but I just got
a
lot of nice notes, so thank you, folks, for that.
Where do people say that? Because I'll take the compliment secondhand. Where do people say that?
They DM me on Twitter, probably
they
because.
They DM you on, oh, DM
my
you,
damn,
I see.
They DM me on Twitter, like
my
when
dams
I'm
are open.
Mean to iOS developers.
my dams are open.
My
dental dam. Oh God. Someone needs to tighten my gaskets and tie down my bigger knots. Jesus Christ. Somebody please work on my piping.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Look at that. Look at the Apple shirt. Look at her in the Apple shirt.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Oh, see,
look
this
at that face.
I mean, this is the other thing is we're now debating, not so much debating in my family, but it was, there was a decree. No, all right, no Thanksgiving for anybody. And my immediate family household, where my parents live and my two youngest siblings live, and the because of luck and the theory that you have, my brother and sister-in-law live literally like next to them. You know, obstac, don't be creepy, but mm-hmm. It was like, okay. Rent, or in this case, owning a house. Why don't you just buy a house, get a condo?
Just buy a house.
But
you know, all that money that goes back into your pocket.
Yeah,
someday.
It's
why don't you just
property.
Buy a house? You know, it's really similar to renting, except you have to buy it, and then you can get your countertops the way you want, and your mudroom. You can get your mudroom, you know, realigned. Realign the mudroom, and then when you come in from your horsey materials, and you want to take off your boots, you can do it in the mudroom. And you could have the gift wrapping room and the Tupperware room and the hats I don't like anymore room and
I'm like
room of rooms.
I'm going to get hives. I'm going to. These are all things. Oh God!
Have you thought about buying a house,
Alex? You could show off all your computers, and I'm like, what?
So great. No, all those dolls that you like, and your kitties could have some kind of a swing, like a sex swing for a kitty.
Your Funko
cats
pups.
Need pussy too.
You got your Funko pups.
Oh, that's super.
And anyway, they took upon this moving project because luckily my pretty much everybody in my family is employed, hashtag privilege, but the thing now is in the suburbs and especially Chicago, rent is kind of plummeting because people are homeless and cannot, and landlords are like, oh fuck, and we're realizing why this system doesn't work. And we've talked about my landlord and how he can be difficult. And in the past, we're like,
I had an interaction with him literally this morning.
Oh, I should tell you the pictures in which I got to text.
I don't
about.
Understand. Why do you have to interact with it? Why does it, no, put differently? Why does he need to interact with you and the house so much? Don't answer. I'm sure there's a reason, but Jesus.
Honestly, I think the reason is he's like, hey, everybody, please don't leave. Because there are so many, like, it's. If you don't have a job right now or cannot go to a job right now, like what can, like,
yeah.
So many of friends are just moving back in with their parents, which is, you know, the millennial stereotype, and it's because it's true. But
I just want to say in passing, I want to pop into this alcove for a second. I've made that joke, and I think that joke is extremely relevant to people who are trying to play like they're a big man. People who like to play like they're a big man on fucking Reddit, but do actually live in their parents' spare bedroom. Like, I think that is a little bit of a thing to make fun of, and I'm going to stand by that. But a lot of this is out of, if not financial necessity, it's sometimes financial necessity, but it could also be it just makes sense for all of your family to be in a big house at the same time. You can minimize expenses. And no, yeah, like people don't have a lot of fucking money right now. Like, yeah. But like it's also that, like, I don't think this is a new phenomenon. I think it's one of those things almost where we had different names for things. If you go back further, you go back in time, the more abstract the euphemisms are for all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's start with, you know, people who are gay. There's all kinds of code words for that or queer in any way. But like on The Crown, for example, think about all the euphemisms on The Crown.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I can't remember who I've talked to about what. So you've seen The Crown, right?
I'm in mid season 3.
But you've seen you've seen S1E1. You've seen the first couple episodes of season 1.
Yeah.
Think of the backflips they do in order to avoid saying a certain word and in order to avoid speaking plainly to the King of England about his condition.
Oh, right? yes,
okay?
Absolutely.
That was true up to the time that my father had that word. That's not a word that people said.
Oh,
people did not
wow.
say the old C word title.
Wow.
Not the new C word. But then there's all kinds of things like that where you would say, again, for gay guys, there was like very polite ways to refer to, especially gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would say things like, Cary Grant, he's a confirmed bachelor.
You know,
all the way down to like, you know, the more pejorative sort of he's light in his loafers or he's very creative. But there were all these things. Or you would say like, you know, you would say about a girl, she has a great personality. Like, mm-hmm. Well, that's not really what you meant probably, but these euphemisms. And I bet you that if we unpacked it a little bit, we'd find a lot of euphemisms for neither the parents nor the kid feel great about them living at home at this point. But like, you know, we do that. Oh, I'm helping my parents out right now. Right? That would be a good euphemism. Even if it's not a euphemism. But the point is, it's only now that we're speaking plainly about it because people are so broadly unmoneyed and that we need to talk about it as a thing. And we can't just keep pretending like everything's, you know, okie dokie and that you're running your telemarketing empire out of a tool shed, you know, just because, you know, you don't have to pay rent there. I don't know. I think there's no shame in that now more than ever.
This is very much a Western thing.
With that said, too. Rosemary apparently bought a house, and I'm mad and jealous.
Oh, I know. Oh, but she can't put up her
security.
So
fucking mad. Oh, Rosemary, what are you going to do with your devices? Why didn't you get a cassetta in the house that you bought? Ugh, hater.
That
hater
money
so
goes
much.
Back to you. It goes back to you. But I think it's very much a Western thing for us to be oh, don't be close to your parents. But for...
In Japan, that's totally normal, right?
Oh, I mean, in most Eastern countries, even in Poland, which has become very problematic. And I'm like, well, that's one place that I guess the one place
in Eastern Europe, there's still like families that are not extended families, but like your even
parents or close aunts and uncles,
slightly super nuclear families, like two or three generations. Yeah.
Right.
That's normal, right?
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. and now I a lot of my friends who are employed and had their they're actually still paying a lease because, you know, hashtag privilege, but they are staying with their parents because otherwise
if you say that one more time, I swear to Christ.
I swear to Christ,
I don't know what I'm going to do to you, but it's going to be unpleasant. You need to stop doing
I
that.
I know. I'm okay. Hashtag resistant. I'll stop. Okay.
You win this one. Next time you will not be so lucky. I'll tell you about something from extreme restraints. Anyway.
I don't know. I am so fucking happy that I don't have to live with my parents. Oh, I can't even imagine a world. And I love them very, very deeply. But it mm-hmm. just makes sense for a lot of people because otherwise, especially if you're not partnered up and you can like live in a house instead of, you know, the little Cox cavern that we have here. I mean, mm-hmm. why not? Especially if you don't need to interact with your parents except for, you know, being the one who gets groceries. Like, there's that popular ejaculation podcast where they're all literal millionaires, but they wanted to be close to their family. And I mm-hmm. think we're removing a lot of shame from that, or at least I hope we are, because I mean, there's a big difference between, I don't know. There's a big difference. I feel like obviously living in the parents' basement and just taking advantage of them and embracing a very different kind of lifestyle that we now have to accept as normal, whether that be still having roommates or living with parents in your 30s. I don't know. It's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially.
We should do a challenge about shame.
That's been suggested, and I'm like, that's a good challenge, but it's good.
I don't know what it would be, but I'm putting it. It's not in the doc or in the sheet yet, but I've written it on the paper here. You know, this came up in an episode of, it doesn't matter, but I like to be complete. We were watching, of course, we're watching Umbrella Academy, which is our new, her new TV show. And this came up in an episode. It's so...
Oh, we gotta say, otherwise I'm gonna get the DMs by you. You mean it's your kid's new show, not Elliot Page's new show.
That's correct. Why would someone contact us about that? Because I'd be misgendering the person I'm not talking about?
Exactly. Yes. Yep. 110%. And it's driving me fucking insane.
Okay. We've watched The Boys a lot, and we wanted to pivot to something similar. And by we, I mean my they, Elliot, daughter. No, that's not thy name. Boy, it seems like there's a lot of drama in the gender community just in general. I see it reflected off of what she's telling me about stuff, but it seems like there's a lot of drama.
Everyone's so bored.
So there's a trans man who's mad about what's a non-iodetic, what's the word, pronouns? Like you can only use they and them. And then everybody goes into that person's, I think you're allowed to call a person, go into their YouTube video and then you do copy pastas as comments because the person doesn't like zhuzhers. Did that seem confusing? Because, boy, it sure was confusing to me.
It sure is confusing.
There's a lot of drama in the gender community. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes. And I don't even, like, I don't enjoy... I have a show about gender, and I don't even...
If it weren't for my daughter, Jill Gutowitz, and you, I don't think I would know anything.
Which is fine, because if someone came up to you and said, actually, my name is this, and...
But it's sort of like, you know, yeah. Really, of all the people on my political Twitter, boy, there's a lot I like, but for funniness, you know, well, and this is mostly dudes, I apologize. Well, you got Alexander Petri, of course, but Dave Weigel and Dave Itzkoff, like two people who just like, oh, boy, they're really good at Twitter. And of course, people like David Roth, but like, you know, Jill Gutowitz is so fucking funny.
So
and her bit
good.
About she with the screen so grab good. From the Robin Hood cartoon where he's a beggar, like looking for lesbians.
The,
like
the fox one. Yeah, yeah.
Because the lesbians are endangered by the...
Yeah. The theys, we're taking them down.
The trans are taking over. Yeah. Where are my lesbians at? Big burger horn.
God.
Oh my God, what a lot of drama. But then there's that, there's Ricky Montgomery. I hear a lot about a person called Ricky Montgomery who writes very good songs and has a good Twitter.
I don't know who that is.
Really?
No, I truly don't.
Look up Mr. Loverman.
That Twitter?
Is, we shared our dumb Spotify thing last night, and you'd be proud to know, my daughter is in the top 1% of Steven Universe listeners.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, because of the, oh my
I think her
God.
Favorite one is the one that goes, this is the same song with slightly different words.
If you're canceled for anything, it
should. And then the gems, this. The gems come together. It's called scissoring. Scissoring the gems. So I heard scissoring's a myth.
Oh, anyway, I'm really
Actually,
happy.
I prefer it to be called myth. Myth. Don't call me myth. Call me myth.
Anyway.
That was a funny joke in the 70s, making jokes about the word Ms. Did you know that? On One Day at a Time, the superintendent, Schneider, who was kind of like a Dougie, what's her name? The mother. She liked to be called Ms. Mother. Ms. Romano. And Schneider couldn't bring himself to do it, so he would call her M.S. Romano. And that was a joke on the show. Norman Lear.
That's a pretty good joke, actually.
Had Valerie Bertinelli. And Mackenzie Phillips. It was a good show. This is it. The one you get to go and go and have it all.
Oh.
There was Alice. Did you ever watch Alice? Alice is probably a little before your time.
No. I do not even know what that is.
Well, you're born. What year were you born? Like 1999? Something like that?
No, 1990. Yeah.
Oh. Wow. The year I started my job with Dave the Marketing Guy.
Oh.
That's when you were born.
Oh, my.
You probably don't remember that.
Oh, isn't this the guy?
Hey, how's Captain Marlin doing? Marlin, how am I going to get more chicken bites on my bus driver? How am I going to get one of them 30s? Dave the Marketing Guy. One of the earliest characters on Back to Work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's even before Bluetooth.
I didn't know until listening to your other program, Reconcilable Differences, or Differently Reconcilable. I'm very confused.
I hate the name. Don't say it. I hate the name. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that the backyard interview of the Merlin Show with you and John Roderick was like a pilot in the way that like the Adventure Time pilot was a pilot to Back to Work. And I'm like, holy shit. And so now I'm.
Exactly. That and the time he's on Back to Work. But that was really fun to do. It's to do the Merlin Show today, it would just be so much easier. I bought two video cameras. Two lav mics. I bought all of these different. I spent a lot of money, and then we're shooting to DV. Is that what it's called? What's it called? The cassette format.
This was in 2003, I think.
No. So Jonathan Colton, it would be 2007, probably.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm talking about. Those red little red cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh God,
But then, but then you got to open for me iMovie. For Ben, it was probably. I don't know if Final Cut existed then, but you open it up and then you have to like run the tape to get it onto your hard drive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it might have been, I don't think it was 1080. It might have been 1080. I feel like it was probably 720.
720. I have done a lot of archival footage work.
And it was a lot of work. I had to get two Libsyn accounts.
Uh-huh.
I still have them today. But it was so much work. And now today you could do that with your iPhone and your friend's iPhone and maybe, you know, like a better mic, but you'd be good to go. Isn't that crazy to think about? That's not that many years ago, Alex.
I know. And I actually think and kind of mourn the Merlin Show days, not because I want to hear men talking in their backyards. It was very good. I love your backyard very much.
Thank
the
you.
Mountain goats. I
oh feel, yeah, Peter, when he kept talking about LJ. He's talking about live journal. He kept referring to it as LJ, and I thought that was so cute. He's very handsome. Don't you think he's handsome?
He's had a glow up, if you will. I mean, all of them.
He looked great then.
What was his band before?
What was his band before that? I forget. It was Five Tools or whatever was his site? Was it? And wasn't he related to Nothing Painted Blue? I feel like, but that's not the famous one he was in. What is the one I'm thinking of? You ever heard of Nothing Painted Blue? You might hate them. What's his name? Peter
Thiel?
What's his last name?
Blood Boy?
Hughes.
There we are.
Peter Blood Boy.
There we go.
Peter Hughes, musician, Mountain Goats. Okay, I'm clicking. What is his other band? All of you out there yelling, you're not helping. Oh, he was in Nothing Painted Blue. Yes. Picking me up with the compressor limiter. All right, save it for the after show.
Okay,
Nothing Painted
okay.
Blue. I'm writing it down. No, okay.
Oh, I gotta tell the dead grandma story in the after show. I promise I will tell you about the.
I'm running out of paper here. Okay,
tragic,
Nothing Painted
Blue.
Dead grandma? What?
Dead grandma. Gruesome grandma death. But I think that there is so much pressure, or like millennials and up feel so much pressure to have high production values for some reason instead of just making a good thing, which is why I don't endorse spending 6 hours a day on TikTok. But some of the some of the best stuff, it's just people doing a thing and they put they're screaming into their microphones. I love that.
I'm sorry, I lost the thread a little bit because I'm looking at Peter Hughes' page on the internet science site. What the fuck are you talking about?
Is
this dead grandma?
No, I'm so lost.
I feel like I'm losing time here.
Dead grandma will be for the after show. Go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. If you want to hear the after show and get some nice digital treats. Anyway, I don't know how much you watch TikTok, but I really think that this is kind of defining it's not just defining generational humor, but it is reframing the way we think about media to the point where I even think that Mr. Todd is okay with horizontal video. And I was a holdout as well. Like, no, I need my 16:9.
Portrait?
Yeah, 'cause I was a
portrait versus landscape.
Thank you. Hot dog, not hamburger.
What? Do you wash your legs?
Didn't
you? I could eat peach all day. What?
Oh God.
Okay, so Todd says TikTok is okay.
I think Todd.
TikTok is defining a new thing.
Don't you think that short, kind of like how we all loved Vines.
Yeah, you know what else it is? Every time a kid shows me a video and then has to explain it to me by showing me other videos. I mean, obviously I come across TikToks because everybody puts everything on Twitter because Twitter's where people go. I see TikToks and sometimes I love them very much. Have we talked about the one where the guy meets himself from different times? Have we ever talked about that one?
Oh, the guy who's like, oh, yep, the which fire is that?
I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to become like that. And each cut, he's like wearing like different clothes and stuff like that. Have you seen that one?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to find it. I'll find it for the show. TikTok aging. Okay.
I just like mashups and mixes.
But you know what I think a big thing is also? I think this could be an Instagram thing. I don't know. But the thing is, I often when she shows me something, the aspects that I notice about it are it's often, so unless it's doing a bit where it's a medium shot, there's a lot of very tight shots of people. That's one thing that seems like part of the aesthetic. The other thing is it's over music a lot of the time. The other thing is, would you call them stickers? A lot of times there's something for context, I assume, on like a yellow sticker on the screen. And I think that's an aesthetic. I don't know if all of those things have been combined in other places, but that really feels like the table stakes in a way that 140 characters is part of Twitter almost. You know what I mean? It's like that part of the aesthetic of Twitter used to be like, what could you accomplish just knowing there's 140 characters? And it used to be, time was, as you know, boy, people hated this. That could be text or it could be white space. And that could be part of the bit, if you're me.
Oh,
but like that still fits in 140. Now, of course, they've stopped that because we can't have nice things. But I don't know. I don't know enough to know. My kid spends a lot of time on TikTok.
I don't know. I do not think it is a lowbrow medium in the slightest. But I've just been thinking a lot about the 73 folders type thing of the time and attention, and wondering is long form. Is long form type media dying off, and is that okay? Like, mm-hmm. you know, we had the book panic because we wouldn't sit around and tell the stories, and
right.
the TV movie panic and the TV panic, and each time every medium, well, obviously hashtag Brit, oh please don't, I will have a privilege palace.
I'm gonna go through, just so you know, I will be going through Descript, and I'm gonna find every time that you said hashtag, and then you're gonna have to listen to it on the internet, and people will comment, and they'll get into your DMs.
Oh, I'm already in trouble because I said that I was excited for Elliot Page, and I'm happy to. I don't think that they need to recut Juno. Anyway,
I heard his partner's hot. And that's what I heard.
I retweeted what is my favorite tweet in a while, which is, wait, fuck, what? Wait, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Damn it. Oh, we will reveal a new trans celebrity every day until our demands are met.
That's so good. We have a lot of open parentheses.
I know,
and it's
going to
frustrate me when I. Oh, so first of all, please, real quick, we got a challenge. Our challenge is coming up. An hour. Fuck me gently.
I know. Let's do Christmas.
Hey, but I think the hammering stopped. That's good.
Good. Hooray. Good.
This is always is funny to me when this happens. I'm not bragging, but this is weird. Click on the link. The Peter Hughes.
Peter Hughes.
Look at how handsome that guy is.
Indeed, but this sure is an outfit from, I'm going to say, does it say like what it is? I'm going to say this is a 2004.
Yeah, it says, always says what the outfit's from on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Peter, 2007. No, I was 5 years off. Okay.
What's 2007?
When this picture was taken.
Oh, scroll down the external links.
Are we, I assume that I'm looking for a, we're gonna command F this buddy.
Just scroll down to external links,
oh,
number 3.
Oh, there we
go. Isn't
that
funny?
Sorry, I was looking at references. Oh, that's
so cool.
Oh,
are you on your phone?
Well, I'm.
Answer is either yes or no. Alex, are you on your phone?
No.
Okay. Are you on your iPad?
No.
Are you on, is this the year of Linux on the desktop?
No, this is me finally accepting the natural scrolling that Apple has been doing for about a decade that I refuse to.
Oh, you finally, wait. Okay, so you just switched. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd get used to it.
It's
one of those things where like, it's like having to tell somebody what a key command for something is. Like somebody would be like, well, how do you use Better Touch Tool? And I'm like, oh, I use it so that I can hit some set of keys and I make a 4-key chord that I could not tell you right now. I think there's a command in there somewhere, but I couldn't tell you what. Like there's a command and maybe an option. I can't remember if there's a function or a shift. How would I even tell you? I cannot tell you which way I scroll. If I had to like explain it to you, it would be like asking me about my tongue while I'm eating. It would be very confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I can do it on my iPad, but not on, it's like a, I feel like my iMac Pro is a public bathroom. I can't scroll the correct way, but I can do it on my iPad because it's a personal device.
How's that a public bathroom? Oh, I see. You don't want to drop a Duke at the mall.
Uh-huh. It's a more intimate space in iPad.
I see. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what you do with it.
Challenge. I think we can make this.
Must be Santa. Santa Claus. Who's got a beard that's long and white? Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Oh. How you doing there?
I should get my headband back on. I can't find my juice. Where's my juice?
Hang on. Like, I'll find it. Hang on. I'll be right back.
I don't know why it's so funny. I don't know why, but it's so cute. cute. It's just...
What kind of person mislays their saline solution?
Well, me, because now I just get the you know, head pads really wet and kind of just sprinkle salt over it.
Wow.
So it gets a little grainy.
Eat them with a spoon. but this is a somewhat poorly defined challenge for this week, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but I'm kind of excited about it. My sense was we're going to talk about Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think the notion was in particular to talk about Christmas traditions of your youth and your family and your current family and your future family and your second wife, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to talk about that. Everybody gets a practice wife and a regular wife.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If you're a wife guy, you know, you got to back into it.
You do. Beep, one beep, is beep. Nine.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Right.
You know what I mean? And also with you. What do you say now? You say, now instead of that, you say high five. What do you say now?
And with your spirit.
And great success, yeah. You say.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, we are running out of time.
Context. Yellow sticker. Is that, I'm a little bit... You wouldn't know it to look at me, but I'm kind of a little bit excited about Christmas. Mm. We haven't got a tree yet. There was a medical thing that happened, and we're dealing with things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But like, we need to get a tree. Thank you. But I think this started because I know that you're excited. Well, I know that you like Christmas, and I suspect you're excited about Christmas, and I'm a little bit excited about Christmas, even though I shouldn't be. I have a 13-year-old. Hmm. You know. Who's becoming increasingly goth,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But still builds Lego with me.
I still think that I would. Does she identify as goth? Does she say she's intentionally going down that tree?
She has created a Hot Topic account. I encouraged her to make a Hot Topic account so that she could create a wish list.
That's
and we were having trouble getting the wish list shared. So she. I would request that you not discuss it with our audience.
No, I will not, but I need to see that list.
But I'd be happy. So she sent it to me. She said, there's a way to do this, but it's going to send it to you as a bunch of different links.
I got this
beep, 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 beep on my phone, and oh my God.
Oh,
oh my God.
Well, Amazon lists are broken now too.
Really?
This is kind of our thing because you know that I adore Christmas because I, as I quote Hank Green's book again and again, I had a very happy childhood, but I was not a particularly happy child. But it's
Wow, that's really good.
Isn't that good?
That's so good.
And
is that I know him. He's on the internet. He and his brother are on the internet.
Yes.
It's the brothers that Riley likes that are from Canada. That she gets to meet them in that episode, and there's The Fault in Our Stars is one of those guys, right?
Yes, they are the Green Brothers.
They seem nice.
I've worked with one of them more than I've worked with the other, but both of them have been always extremely, extremely kind and
seem very down to earth.
Yes, they are. I have never met a more famous person who is.
I love people like that. Ken Jennings is like that. Ken Jennings is like that. I get the feeling that Ken Jennings in any situation would always be exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like that where it's just like, you know, go you. You're mm-hmm. all right.
I'll get into.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. We'll
that should be a shirt. That should be a blank check shirt. We'll get to it.
After show. That should be a shirt. I don't.
Did you listen to this Starly Kine on Blank Check?
Not yet. I listened to the most recent episode because I really, really.
Why did you do it to yourself? Never let it cool. Never let that hot chocolate. Never ever let it cool.
I can't remember the last time I had a nightmare about the film Polar Express, but that happened.
Does that hobo come to you in the night?
Oh,
do you get a night hobo?
God, I know. The thing is, I know that word is like problematic now, but like when it's an actual fucking character who chooses to live on a train to attack small children, I think it's okay. We call him a hobo.
Yeah. The name for that is a hobo.
I think that's okay.
You know, our friend of the show, John Hodgman, covered this in his Areas of My Expertise book. He's not talking about the homeless people. He's talking about a more of a John Roderick style character who chooses to be out there and have the freedom of Riding the Rails, you know, on the Big Rock Candy Mountain, which, by the way, is a song about pedophilia. Did you know that?
No.
You know the song, you've probably heard it in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
It's a really good old classic folk song. Big Rock Candy Mountain. That song?
Wait, is this like a Puff the Magic Dragon situation in that it's
no,
really
worse,
about...
Way worse. That was not real, I think. God, we gotta get to this Christmas.
I'm sorry.
Christmas is near.
Well, that's the thing is the gifts were never a thing with, you know, hashtag privilege, but like we...
Oh my God,
I'm
Alex.
Sorry, I'm... Oh,
Jesus Christ! You can't stop now.
I know,
it's like a tick.
I can't stop. But...
Can't stop. First concert, best concert. Spice Girls.
Oh, worst concert. I thought it was first concert, best concert. Or did I just miss...
What did I say?
I thought it was worst concert, best concert.
Oh, sorry. I probably misspoke.
Best concert actually changed to... Oh, God. It's a tie between the Mountain Goats one where I told Maddie that I loved him for the first time and the Mountain Goats one I went to last year and the... oh, my God. And no, I don't know the best concert. I do. Hmm. It was the 3 days the time I saw Ludo four times in 3 days last year. Anyway, moving on. I love Christmas.
I like it at the end of that. I think it's episode two. I like at the end when we realize that every night he's been making the cookies himself. That scene is like, and it just kind of goes by, but it's like, it makes it so powerful. And then, of course, now that's her, that is now Rebecca's Madeline. That is now her connection to the past are these cookies. And like, she has, what's his name, Higgins, running around trying to find them. And all the ones that he brings her are not as good as the ones Ted is bringing. And it's the ones that Ted's making her every night with love. And he gives it to her every morning. And she's all like, I can't do this all the time. I'm a business lady. I got to go Google myself and my husband all day and then close the lid when somebody walks in. I think that's Rebecca's job. Rebecca's job is she Googles herself and Rupert and then closes the lid fast when somebody walks in.
Well, she is the kind of person who I think in the show does not have... See, I'm circling back. Does not have the time.
She needs the lasso away.
She doesn't have the bandwidth to shuck and jive and play in the space. Like, I will be like, come to my space. Come to my space. But unless it is harmful, this is another thing I realized about the show.
That's really good, Alex. I didn't think you had that in you. That was great. You know what else she is? Shame. 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 I had to tell Emma those aren't really her boobs, that's a body double.
I loved that article about the body.
It's an amazing body double. We're talking about the Game of Thrones.
I love the body double. I love Cersei. I just... Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. You got to see Dredd. It's so good.
I know.
Now, be careful which Dredd you get. You don't want the Judge Dredd with Sly Stallone unless that's the one you want. But you want the one with Carl Urban. You can't see his pretty face because he's got that mask on. It's got Carl Urban. It's got Cersei. And like I say, it's also got Bill Weasley and other people. It's a very good movie.
Is this in your new I know that your project is not complete yet, but is that part of the omnibus of media?
I don't know exactly what you're referring to.
You should put it on.
Is this you're talking about the thing like the secret list?
I didn't know there was a secret list, but
it's a secret list with my daughter and I share of the things we don't tell mom we watch.
We had that list. It was mostly The Simpsons, but
yeah, sure, that's wholesome. Yeah.
Well, when you're five,
I totally. I mean, the main thing is you have to steer clear of content. I mean, there's some kinds of things, and I've said this over and over again, you know, sexual assault and personal violence, two things that are right out. Like, if it's like people being menaced with a knife, like, we can handle stormtroopers. She's seen so much Grey's Anatomy at this point. That show is so grisly.
I keep thinking
about George. It makes me sad.
In his uniform. Thank you for
remember
with
George, George? Remember he saved the people, and then remember they couldn't even recognize him?
In the bus.
They didn't even know it was him.
Oh, 007.
Remember that? Remember George?
007.
He got harassed. He got harassed by that man on the set.
And
now, whenever we see him, we say boo, that doctor. We say boo.
I don't want to spoil.
But she's seen a lot of gore. But you don't want to. What you don't want to do is you don't want to traumatize your kid.
I mean, I asked you a question a long time ago, because I kind of, I think, not judged you, but I was surprised when you had said, well, what you just said, but kind of a truncated version, which was, we don't like to show her violence or any of the sexy times. And I'm like, well, why? Violence is way fucking worse. And my parents, like, always avoid, they were fine with the violence, but were like, oh, fast over the sex scenes.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, at a certain age, any kind of, well, and again, I'm not talking about nudity, I'm talking about sex stuff.
Yes.
That, but in particular, mm-hmm. but like, and I'm, boy, I'm failing to distinguish here, or I'm misremembering. It's sexual, yeah, sexy stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't think she should see people boning down when she's six. Consider me a crazy nut. But it's sexual assault stuff. Anything with menacing another person, particularly a woman, I don't love that. And that's, so there's that, as far as Omnibus, under that would also be like kids in danger. We don't like stuff with kids in danger. Even if, like, we're pretty sure they're going to be okay. But, like, you know, like that episode of SVU, like, where the girl has to talk to Olivia, Olivia. Like, we're not going to watch that for a while, yeah. You know.
Well, but I think that's such an important distinction. And also, I think this was, like, 4 years ago that I asked you this question, because it really did bother me a little bit. But you were like, well, no, I don't want her to have any expectation of what these experiences are. Because, and like, it wasn't,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was real. Well, no, and I'm like, oh, holy shit. Like, and that's, yeah.
Well, because I grew up watching ZZ Top videos, and look at me now. Well, just look at me now. The results have been incredible. Every woman I know has to wear lingerie and high heels and walk in slow motion.
Oh, God. I'm so happy that...
Don't you think, though? Don't you think that, like, I don't want to get into all your terminology that's au courant, but, like, there was a lot of, well, you know, the kind of whatever, cis heteronormative, whatever the fuck. But, like, but the constant, you know, rat-a-tat of a certain kind of imagery, especially in the 1980s. And, you know, I'm happy to argue with somebody about were the 80s different? Well, the 80s were different, not least because of things. There's this whole, I could do an hour on this. Things like the rating system and people realizing how you could game the rating system. So you knew what you'd get away with. Like today, there's this like understanding that you get one F word in a PG-13 movie and stuff like that. But like you had to have boobs and weird sex in every movie. Mm-hmm. And like there's so many movies where you go back and you're like, wow, that really clangs wrong. Like there's something about this scene that seems very, to use the word that they used even at the time, gratuitous. But what was gratuitous? Gratuitous was like every fucking movie, in so many movies at least, like especially movies for young people in the 80s, after we'd gone through the period of everybody who has intercourse gets hacked up, Ghostbusters BJ, I don't know why he left it in, but I guess he couldn't kill his darling. No, but like, but it's, think about how many, well, you would know this, but so many of those movies are basically about either sexual assault or are about like a guy scheming to trick a girl into doing something with his penis. And then really, almost as importantly, then him being able to brag about it.
Yeah, and or ha ha ha, look what I did.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's just like humor. It's, you know, Anthony Michael Hall's just holding up panties. Mm-hmm. But like all those things, I mean, I'm trying to avoid saying the video game, violent video games cause murder thing, because I'm not trying to say that. But I do know that you can only shit what you've eaten.
Yeah.
And so I think that if your steady diet is of that kind of material, you don't even have to be, even a strong person could start to think that that's what sex means. That sex means I pursue someone as though like I'm the fox and they're the rabbit. And then I skin them and hold it up and everyone cheers.
Yeah.
And I could care less how she feels about it.
Yeah. But, and also the lack of, just a woman's side of the experience. Like famously, even just like, what year? Oh, it was 2010, which is forever ago, but doesn't really feel like, 2011. Have you seen the movie Blue Valentine? It has Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams.
I haven't, because my wife said it's really good, but very sad.
It is one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
She said it's very, very sad. And I bought it and I still haven't watched it. Because I love Ryan Gosling, Goatman. I do love him, but yeah.
And it was rated NC-17 initially, and it's because
because there's a woman enjoying sex in it.
Yep. and it is
all queers must die.
All the gays.
No one's
die.
No queer can be happy in a movie,
and no the woman, ladies can't.
No
come.
Woman may enjoy the intercourse.
Yeah, no, they can only come on Christmas. That's my one day of the year.
Oh, whoa! Christmas is coming soon. Christmas is gonna finish. Get out of his way.
I think that's a good place to stop, and we can do some more Christmas stuff, or we can keep on going. It is up to you.
You know what? Let's do, you know, just so we didn't Christmas tease our audience.
Yeah. Okay. No, let's, I would love to do a quick Christmas quickie. I'm
wow.
Sorry.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm really uncomfortable with the energy in the room
right
now.
I'm sorry. Hey listeners, I guess you're still here. I'll just say I love Christmas because.
What do you love about Christmas, Alex?
It was again like the hashtag privilege presents.
Oh,
but
my
but, hey,
fucking
hey, hey,
God!
Hey, it was also it's also the one time of year that my family no it wasn't the one time of year my family often the entire extended family, which usually extends to more than 50 people, so we will not be doing that this year even at our farm because mm-hmm. we just literally can't and
all the people you're doing it for are the most at danger or most, you know what I
yep.
mean, like you say like, oh, you know, who knows how many more Christmases grandma has, but like, you know, but like, yeah, everybody goes and breathes on her to make her happy. And then like, anyway, I don't want to be, you know, morose.
No,
but.
I think it's really important that we talk about it.
It's important to talk about that. You're not doing them any favors, dude.
Well, and I think, you know, our friend Marco Arment on ATP, the Big Boy Fancy Tech podcast, talked about how he got COVID, and he was extremely careful and like followed all the guidelines.
Above everything else, he was ashamed. I think above everything yes. else, he was ashamed.
We can't make this fucking
He thought AIDS. He was doing his best
yeah,
at it.
We can't make
And then
it,
he
yeah.
then they got one past the goalie.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
No, I'm not yelling at Marco here. I'm yelling at all the other people who, contravening all sensible things, like how is Rudy Giuliani still walking around? I mean, is he a witch? He could be a witch. He kind of looks like a witch.
With Peter Thiel, and he's got a blood boy.
He's got a blood boy. Take out the blood plug. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's well, and that's the thing too. Is my dad and my brother? You know, they work for Cox Porky, and they luckily they were able in early March able to shut down for a few weeks, and so they had a couple cases. But like, you know, they're a small business. They're not Purdue.
Oh, that never crossed my mind because one of the early vectors was like the chicken plants and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. And it's in meatpacking plants.
That was one of the big surges in like, what, I want to say Wisconsin or?
Yeah. And I didn't want to, I thought maybe I didn't share this with you, but it was really like, it was real bad for a while. Because they were a small business, hopefully, even though I've maybe referred to them as the bad guys in the novel The Jungle, but they were able to be like, okay, everybody go
the
fuck.
Sinclair book?
Yeah, uh-huh. Like, okay. All right, no, everybody go the fuck home. No one's going to buy stuff anyway. But then, luckily, now they're able to, another humble brag for hashtag privilege, like they're able to
oh,
actually
my God, talk about Christmas and never say that again.
Okay. Well, anyway, so, but my grandma and grandpa who owned this business before they had gone to Florida for the, I don't know, they left in what's February, and they're like,
yep.
And my grandma had already decorated the house for Christmas because, you know, Trump said the vaccine was going to come by the end of the year, and she's like, nope, it's
a very, very short period of time.
And mm-hmm. I in the after show, I just kind of last week we talked about, you know, my grandma and how I really was heartbroken by some of her decisions in the past, but even she was like, oh nope, fuck Thanksgiving, staying here. Mm-hmm. Oh nope, fuck Christmas, like it's breaking her heart, but she wants to be there for
did she really say it like that?
No, it is actually like kind of breaking her heart, but like she is yep. I was like, oh,
grandma did it, she was country strong. You're telling me that my 91-year-old mother broke my Sony video camera? You sure you and John weren't just fucking around with it? Nope. Oh, Grandma did it. She was country strong.
I thought that I would be sad, but there was, I just, such a wave of relief.
Didn't you say, I'm having so much trouble for figuring out what this has to do with Christmas, but I feel like you stipulated a while back that you, at first you were mad that they went to Florida for COVID, and then you were actually relieved, right? Is that right?
Yes, because
what am I misremembering?
They traveled what I thought was a little bit too late, but on this podcast, we were in February, we're like, everybody stay home. But, you know, they have stayed there. Normally they, you know, they're the Florida people who come back and, you know, they come back for Christmas and then go back to where the warm boomers live. But and I thought it'd be really, really sad this Christmas because I'm not going to be seeing my family. But the wave of relief I felt was shocking. Like it was, I'm not as familiar with drugs as Mr. Roderick is on Roderick on the Line, but I have not felt that good like in a long while. And she's like, I'm sorry, Alex, we're just not doing Christmas. And I tried not to share my glee.
Right. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where like in a lot of relationships, you have to be careful to meter your response to something because it could be either misread or read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But in that case, you go, fuck yeah. Yeah. I want to see you at Christmas. Yeah.
And just hearing like, I want to have more Christmases with you. And I was like, oh fuck. Like, thank God that like my family hasn't gone full QAnon. And now maybe I will be able to at least see my siblings from a distance, like across the yard, which makes me very happy because I live like 20 minutes from my parents. But even that, I haven't seen them. Since March? No. Yeah, that sucks. But I,
jeez, this got that's super, crazy.
I got super like, it's not. Yeah, honestly, yeah, it is because we are all we're close and weird. This probably sounds stupid and I do not care, but it feels like my family's like hardcore Christmas spiriting of like, no, we are going to make this as happy as possible. Especially with the one of my brothers got married this year, don't be creepy, and my niece was born, which was, you know, one of the happiest days of my life. And it sucks that like I don't know, but I am so conflicted about this because Maddie and I are making like our own Christmas traditions, and for the first time literally in my entire life, I will not be spending Christmas Eve at my like sleeping over at my parents' house. And I don't know, I thought I'd be much more bummed, but there's this thing of like, oh, at least my family is still taking this seriously enough that they care about not just us, but the other people they interact with and have to interact with.
Yes. That seems to be,
it's fucking Christmas spirit. And yeah,
it's the ultimate Christmas spirit. I mean, I'm gonna let you finish, but like, it's frustrating to me. I know this is just a pipe dream of the corrupt left, but like, it's one thing, like, you can't get people to protect themselves. If you can't get people to protect themselves, you can't get them to like protect the people around them that they live with. Mm-hmm. You can't get them to protect the people then by extension that they work with or come in contact with. But like, you know, and I think most of the people I know are very much at least that far along. Or here's the other problem: is people that think they're doing a good job. Ooh. Yeah. That's the classic, like, under the nose people. Oh, I wear a mask all the time. It's really annoying. Yeah, but it's not. You're not covering your face, you fucking idiot. But, like, the part that we're, like, you know, I think arguably Asia and Europe are, not arguably, inarguably, that they're way better at is, no, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is, okay, I may not throw garbage on my own floor because I want to keep my house nice and not have garbage on the floor. Mm-hmm. I also don't throw garbage on the ground in my neighborhood because I want my neighborhood to stay nice. But, like, how do you become the sort of person, how do you become the sort of American that says, no, I don't throw trash on the ground at all because it's not about me. It's not about the ground. It's not about the trash. It's about everybody else. Mm-hmm. Nobody should have to deal with my trash. Mm-hmm. So I don't throw it on the ground. So the point I'm trying to make here very poorly is that Like, I don't throw trash on the ground for me, but I also, I don't throw trash on the ground because it's wrong and because I care about strangers not having to deal with it. Can you even imagine asking most Americans to think about it that way today, to protect people you don't know?
Well, that's the other thing, is if we were going to turn anything into a terrorist, it should have been easier to turn a literal virus into, like, that's what, like, how did, I know.
We should at least make it take off its shoes.
It's been beaten to death, but I don't know. Like, this reminds me actually of something that they being the folks who host Maintenance Phase, which is kind of a spin-off of You're Wrong About.
What's that?
But the
With the lady. Yeah.
And she's like, I feel bad that I don't remember her name, but she goes by Your Fat Friend on Twitter. So mm-hmm.
She's funny. She's funny and fast.
She is. And her new book is all about, you know, how fat people are treated in America. And mm-hmm. She straight out says, look, this is not a book about you being like an individual. This is not a feel good, like love your body book. This is just about the systematic problems of how we treat people. And yeah, it really sucks when I'm on an airplane and people are terrible to me and someone like yells at me.
That's such a good distinction. It's like the difference between, like, you know, oh gosh, you know, why don't you write, you should write a cookbook about being a child in a cage. It's like, why? It's like, oh, you know, something that would really help people. It's like, well, what would help people is not having kids in cages. And this is such a, I feel like this is such a black lady thing, is like, you know, stop trying to dictate a way for me to behave that'll make you comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the good ones. Oh, God.
Christmas. What about Christmas? Okay, we got to bounce.
Christmas.
It's Christmas. Christmas is a time to say I love you. You know, you spread the joy, the laughter, and the tears. Christmas, I love you.
You spread it all for
spread
all
it around,
the year.
Whole spread.
Yeah, and it's the one time I can listen to Zooey Deschanel sing that I don't get mad at her for breaking.
Why does it
up?
Always have to get nasty with you? It's always got to get nasty.
Can't you just
celebrate the joy of the season?
I try, and we have so many smart scenes in our apartment now that make for various Christmas movies. We have just different Christmas lights for both the tree and our hue bulbs.
I didn't think you could get any more gay.
It
depends on the Hallmark movie, but they all have a rainbow. Do we do enough Christmas for that to be okay?
You know what? Real quick, bonus lightning round. Normally, this would be in the after show. You have.
Oh wait,
some
so
really
we're
cute...
still we're still doing
yep,
it.
Yep. Main show. Real quick. Why? I was just going to say. Also, Christmas is a time where you don't need to eat a particular kind of food, because Thanksgiving is my least favorite holiday. Not just because it's like, you know, hashtag problematic, but because it there's so many foods.
Mandatory gustatory joy.
So many foods.
Eat this. Oh. Eat me. Eat me. So that means you could just have paper in a bowl, like whenever you feel
much,
like it?
Pretty much. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love it. And then, you know, you cut up your food to make it look like you've eaten it, but really you haven't.
Ordered.
Mm-hmm. But you... okay. You
scootered around on your plate like Diana eating with Camilla.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
boy. Oh, gosh. Jazz break. You said that you are really excited for Christmas.
Oh,
why
yes.
are you excited for Christmas in you know, now more than ever?
I don't know. I mean, I it's usually pretty fun. It's weird. I have this strange regret of like all the things that I'm used, not all the things, but several of the things I'm famously and historically a little bit grouchy about. I find myself craving now. Like I feel like I was just about to get good at what's the opposite of business? Personal travel, like family travel. I was just on the cusp of getting good at it. And not simply that I had all my tech lined up, had separate sets of everything. I was also, it was also, and yeah, I mean, part of it was like the bridge from total anxiety about travel to less anxiety included a lot of stop-offs in OCD land. Which one of my everybody's least favorite Disney park, but like that's but having things like my lists and the tech that all helped. But like it also then got to like, I mean, something I had to realize about myself, and I've said this before, but I've always been really bad at getting into things, like getting into vacation, getting into the holidays, and you know, shame and loss aversion are have been a lot of like the definition of my life. And so I have, in some cases, my goal over the last 10 years basically is to take fewer days to get into whatever the thing is, especially a vacation. Because there was a time when I could, here's the formula for me in vacation, the number of days, let's say the number of nights that we are out of town minus one. That's how long it took. It usually was the last or the penultimate day of a trip when I would be like, oh, I'm having fun now. Because I got used to the routine, the anxiety shed, I hadn't died, nothing happened. I understood like where the bathroom was, like all of those things. Mm-hmm. My point being that like that, and again, this sounds like something that my friend John Syracuse is good at. Like he makes a point of saying, no, I'm great at vacations. I'd sleep all the time. I have no problem at all walking away from work, which I think is actually super cool.
He's just, I don't understand. Ooh, okay, sorry.
Layers of an onion, layers of an onion. But I, but that, that my point being that I'm not ashamed. I'm a little bit regretful at this point. Huh, it's going to make me sad. But there's a lot of stuff that my kid didn't get. Not like materially. She's good materially. But like every kid, like she's got a big hole in her life for the last little while. So like that means like we didn't get to have normal. I mean, and again, I feel like people want to make this about, as you say, privilege or about, but like it's just more like there's all kinds of like the marking of time that would be really valuable to a 12 or 13 year old. I feel like from my point of view, there's a lot she's been denied that I think she's doing well considering, but a lot of kids feel extremely unmoored right now. And there's a lot of anxiety going around, and there's a lot of just terribleness. And I'm not saying like there's all these things that just like we would have been cool to get to do. And everybody wants to always give the like, oh yeah, you get to see grandma and stuff like that. Yes, absolutely. We want to see grandma. Absolutely. We miss seeing Auntie Susie for sure. I'm not mad that she threw my glasses. but like we do miss all of that, but it's also just all the dumb shit of like, we can't go walk to the library and pick up our books. Like there's all these little, like these journeys and things that we have always done. And it's such a joy to watch your kid get older alongside the sort of melancholy of them getting older. But it's really nice to get to do stuff you've done their whole life, but you do it different. And every few months it's different again. And, it's just hard that we haven't had a lot of that for a while. And we've both been denied that chance to, you know, grow a little bit. No, so that sucks. But anyway, so I'm trying to disappear into Christmas this year and get excited about it and shed the things that I usually find difficult about getting into something. I'm sorry about that.
Why? No.
I don't mean to be, you know, this way.
Cringe as
I just feel terrible for her. I really wish she got to be a normal teenager right now. She's so cool, and she could be having such a good time, but, I mean, her entire life is mitigated, like, is all, like, it comes through a screen now, for better or for worse. I mean, that's her friends, that's her school, that's her entertainment. I mean, like, what's not a screen right now? And I love screens, but, like, you know, you can't cuddle with a TV.
Yeah, I mean, there's another, it was a funny tweet, but it's like, this weekend, I get to stop looking at my medium screen and reward myself by looking at my giant screen and my very
playing with
small
my tiny screen while I watch my giant screen.
Yeah,
I was telling Madeline, you know, there's been times periodically lately that I've been feeling really burnt out, like everybody. But, you know, just kind of saying, like, I'm sorry if I'm crabby today or something. I'm just really burnt out on a lot of stuff right now. And she's like, why don't you, like, take a week off? And I was like, yeah, but, and do what?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
First of all, the job I have is not difficult. It's the rally-like nature of what
you're
I do.
Good,
well, no. But I'm not. It's not as Gruber likes to say. You don't get iron lung, you know, from typing. No, but it's more just to say that, like, and do what? Which gets to the other part, which is like, God, how ironic is it? It's regular Harry Chapin type situation. I'd kill to be able to go somewhere for a weekend with the three of us, or by myself, or go see Auntie Susie. Not that I'm angry. Like I all of those things. I would love to do all the. I would love to have the inconvenience of traveling a little bit right now, just getting in the car and going somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's wholesome, and I don't think it's healthy, and I don't think it models well. It sucks. And so, like, we just keep fucking chugging along, doing the best we can. And like, so far, all of that effort and all of that frustration and all of that, to be honest, you know, at least inconvenience, well, there's still people in their little parklets outside just roaring with laughter and enjoying their beers. And it's like, you fucking people. I'm not saying it's all on those people. I'm not saying it's all on anybody, but Jesus fuck, man. It's just, how is this going to be like the end of like the world's end? Is this going to be something where like I'm walking around wearing lenses from two different pairs of glasses because we never figured out how to dick this situation? Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating to me. So I'm excited about Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com and then we'll cheer you up. Bye, everybody.